Well, good morning, everybody. We are, we're finally at the end of the Beatitudes. Wow, would you believe it's been 8 weeks since we started this? That just, it seems like an eternity. So if you got your notes, you got your Bibles, your Bible apps, whatever, we're going to be looking at Matthew 5. Now, if I was to ask you this morning, what is the most persecuted group in the world on this planet, what would you say it was? Huh? Who? Christians. You're right, it's Christians. Christians are the, and it might surprise you, because it's the least reported, it's the most ignored, it's the most overlooked news item on this planet. The International Society for Human Rights, a secular organization out of Germany, said that, they put this report out that says 80% of all religious freedom violations in the world today are directed against Christians. That's a lot. Now, we know all through history, you know, since 2,000 years ago when Christ gave up his life on the cross and was risen from the dead and the church started, we know that there's been persecution in the church. We know, everybody knows that, you know, Rome outlawed Christianity for the first few hundred years. Christians were fed to the lions, you know, Nero tarred them and lit them on fire, and you know, there's just been this cleansing thing that happened through history, and there's been tortures, and you know, all kinds of things for the sake of Christ. And what we don't realize, or a lot of people don't realize, is a lot of that's happened in our lifetime. They estimate that 70 million people have died in that 2,000 plus year span. Out of that 70 million, half of them, 35 million, have ceased to exist and gave up their lives in the last 100 years. That's mind-boggling. In the past year, over 100 million followers of Christ lived in countries where the prevailing state religion or dictatorship or whatever it is left this 100 million followers of Jesus facing threats of discrimination, persecution, interrogation, arrest, imprisonment, torture, and death. For instance, back before the first Gulf War, Iraq had 1.4 million Christians. Today, they have less than 100,000. I mean, it's mind-boggling. The most current estimates on North Korea is that somewhere between 80 and 120,000 Christians are imprisoned in North Korea for their faith. Every 10 minutes, two believers give up their lives for being followers. Every 10 minutes. Think about how many people that is in just the time we're spending here this morning. That's mind-boggling. That's hour upon hour, day upon day, week upon week, month upon month, and it's just, for the last decade, that's how it's played out. So what are we supposed to do for our persecuted brothers and sisters? You know, all these hundreds of thousands of people that are in refugees camp and they're being displaced and having to flee their nations. What are we supposed to do? Well, one thing we can do is get informed. You know, most people don't even talk about it. It doesn't get reported. It happens every day. And we also need to pray. The Bible says we need to pray for those who are persecuted. And the third thing, give. You know, help support families that are in areas where their loved ones are being tortured. So we can give, we can pray, we can learn. You know, and it also says we can be advocates for freedom. You know, Scripture, look at this verse in Hebrews 13:3. It says, remember those who are in prison as though you were what? In prison with them. And remember those who suffer as if you were suffering with them. So remember, you know, God tells us we can be advocates for these people. You know, if anybody thinks following Jesus is for wimps, they're sorely mistaken. It's not. It's not easy being a follower of Christ. Even in our country, it's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for cowards. You know, you got to be willing to face rejection, criticism. You got to be willing to face disapproval and peer pressure and face harassment for your faith and opposition for truly living for Christ. The Bible says this. If you look at the top of your outlines, in 2 Timothy. It says, anyone who belongs to Jesus and wants to, what? To live right will have trouble from others. That's a will. That's not if. It's not a maybe. It's a guarantee. If you do the right thing in life, there are going to be people who stand up against you. They're just going to be, you know, if you're standing for the truth, there are going to be people that fight against you on it, push against you. And if you stand for good, evil's going to simply come after you, you know, and oppose it. So today we're looking at this, the eighth, the last of the Beatitudes. And in this one, Jesus is saying, you know, all these other ones we've looked at was what? Generosity, humility, you know, integrity. We looked at last week, what did we look at? Reconciling relationships, you know, that being a peacemaker. And this last one, God's talking about, you know, if you want blessing in your life, and he explains the whole issue of opposition and being harassed for your faith and being persecuted. And we're going to look at this morning is how to handle that when you are being persecuted for your faith. And, you know, there's a few things we need to remember, and then there's some things we need to do when we face the peer pressure in life. And, you know, when people are criticizing you. And, you know, in America, we're not really persecuted, okay? But we are pressured. You know, there is an increasing pressure for the church, and Christians in particular, to conform and be like everybody else. You know, so we don't face the violent opposition right now, and probably won't ever, but there is this silent repression that's out there. You know, it's just subtle things that you know, they want to shut us up. They want to keep your mouth shut. You know, if you want to stand for the truth, it's like, no. And if you want to be a public witness, you know, it's they're just fighting for us to blend in and pressuring us to conform. And you feel it all the time. You may not even realize it, but every day it's happening to you. You know, it could be a boss that's pressuring you to do something that just goes against your morals. And you know it. And you're just being pressured. Or, you know, when you're standing around the office or the water cooler and you know, people are telling dirty jokes, you're pressured to stay there and laugh at them. Or if somebody invites, you know, I've been invited to things that I knew as a believer I couldn't go to. And then you tell them you can't go, and they're like, why? And you go, well, you know, and they're like, oh, okay, so you're against this, you're against that, you're a fuddy-duddy, you're just, you know, you don't know how to have any fun, you know, how freedom is. And so there's this enormous pressure. And you feel the pressure to be silenced when people are praising moral choices where the Bible says it's absolutely wrong. And they're like, well, you don't think this is okay. You don't think you're on the wrong side of history. I've had people tell me that. I'm on the wrong side of history. You know what? History is sometimes wrong. Remember Hitler? 1930s, New York Times, many other magazines were praising Hitler. They were wrong. History was wrong. I don't want to be on the right side of history. I want to be on the right side. I want to be on God's side. When God says it's wrong, period. I'm not pushing my beliefs on anybody. I don't want them pushing them on me. So you're pressured to be quiet. We're pressured to just not say anything. And it's all around us, you know. You could be standing, and I've heard this before, you know, you'll be someplace and somebody will make some remark against Christians and, you know, it'll be some kind of slander thing. And you're pressured not to say anything or fight back or just stay quiet. That is harassment for your faith. And we all face that in so many different areas of our lives. So what do? You know, when you're feeling peer pressure, or when you're feeling pressure because you're following Jesus or you're standing up for the right thing. Well, number one, opposition can make you more like Jesus. Did you know that? That's a good thing, right? Being more like Christ. I would think it's a good thing. So opposition can actually make us more like Christ. Jesus experienced, you know, opposition. Look what the Bible says in John 15. It says, when the world hates you, remember what? They hated me first. The world would love you if you didn't belong to me. But it says, but they don't. And you know why? Because this is Jesus saying this. I chose you out of this world. And then it goes on to say, And that's why the world will hate you. No servant will ever be greater than his master. So since they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If you're ever going to grow to be like Christ, you're going to have to go through some of the things Christ went through in life, right? That makes sense. You know, were there times when Jesus was lonely? Absolutely. Were there times when Jesus was tempted to be discouraged? Yeah. Were there times when he was fatigued and tired? Absolutely. And you know, there were times when he was tempted. And then there were times when, you know, he was criticized, he was lied about. You know, those are all things he went through. And when we're being like Christ, we're going to go through those things because they're going to make us more like Christ. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. You know, a lot of people hated Jesus. Evil always hates goodness. And John 3:19, it says, the light, what, from heaven came down into the world. Who's the light? Jesus is the light. And it says, and people love darkness more than the light because it hides their evil actions. What happens when you've been in the dark all this time and all your life, and then all of a sudden this light comes shining in? It shows all the mess, and it makes people uncomfortable. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he also tells us we are the light of the world too. So we need to be standing for what's, you know, people still love the darkness more than they do the light. And what that means is, even if you're perfect in life, which you can't be, but somehow we have this myth, if I can just be more charming, more likable, and just be perfect, then people will like me. Everybody will like me. Jesus was perfect, and people hated him. So you're never going to get everybody to like you. Get that one out of your mind. You know, just nobody's going to have it where everybody loves them all the time. It's just not going to happen. But there's also another thing we learned from this verse, that, you know, if you're going to get opposition for doing the right thing. You know, obviously, when you do, that means you're being like Jesus, right? Somebody noticed you're being like Jesus. And that's what stood out. In 1 Peter 4:14, it says, your abuse because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. Why? Because the Spirit of God's there, you know? And His glory's there. And what does it do? It brought you to the notice of others. When you're being criticized, when you're being judged, when you're being ridiculed because of your stances, because you're being like Christ, consider it a compliment. You're being like Christ. I mean, that's our goal, is to become like Christ, right? I mean, otherwise, why are we here? I don't know. It wasn't a rhetorical question. Anybody can answer it. No, I really want to know why we're... No. All right. So, and then the other one is, you know, opposition will deepen my faith. How do you strengthen the muscle? You strain it, right? You go to the gym, you work out, you stress, you strain, you jump up and down, you do all those things, and you stretch, and it's by pressure, and it's like having weight against you, and those are the things that strengthen the muscle. And it's the same that happens with our faith. You know who the strongest believers are? The strongest believers are those who have the strongest opposition. You know, in 1 Peter 7, it says this. It says, you know, these troubles will what? Prove that your faith is genuine. It'll prove your faith is genuine. You know, there's going to come a day when you're going to get pushed. You know, but Matthew says this. I love what Matthew says, and this is the last of our Beatitudes, Matthew 5, and it says, God blesses those who are persecuted because they live for God. And it says, the kingdom of heaven will be theirs. You'll be blessed when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Christian, being a Christian is not for weaklings. We see that around the world. It's not for wimps. It's not for the faint of heart. You know, we're never going to see that kind of suffering probably in America. The church is probably never going to face that much persecution where they outlaw Christianity. But as it becomes more and more secularized, more anti-Christian, we are being pressured to be silent. And the Bible tells us when we receive this pressure, there's things we should do. Number one, don't be surprised. It's going to happen. You know, you shouldn't be surprised or expect the world to support your decision to follow Christ. In 1 Peter 4:12, it says, dear friends, Don't be surprised or shocked when you go through painful trials. You know, it like you're walking through the fire. Why? Don't be surprised. It's not, you know, something new or unusual. It's just, it's going to happen. You know, Jesus told us, don't be surprised. The world's not, there's going to be tribulation in the world, period. By the way, some people were wondering if it's the end times. All the days of the church are the end times. We're moving toward always. And I hope, looking at all the stuff that's going on, that you live for today and not try to get caught up in the whole end time thing. I mean, it's important. Revelation is important. But don't let it control your life. I'm seeing a lot of believers starting to do that. Also, don't be afraid. How do you get rid of fear of opposition? Love. How do you get rid of the fear of disapproval? Of living a life where you're afraid of somebody rejecting? You get filled with God's love. You know, the more you realize how much God loves you, and the Bible tells us, what? There's no fear in perfect love. You get filled. Healthy people aren't afraid of rejection. Healthy people aren't afraid of being disapproved of. Healthy people don't need everybody's approval. Healthy people know they're loved by God. Know that. Know that you're loved by God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:13, 16, it says, if you suffer for doing what's right, God will reward you. He says, don't be afraid and don't worry. What do you do instead of worry? Worship. You have a choice. You know, highlight those two words. Draw a line between them or whatever. But that's the alternative. You can worry or you can worship. It's that simple. You know, if you feel pressure, you can pray. You know, connect to God. All right? Third thing, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to be a believer. Never be embarrassed for standing for the truth. Never be embarrassed for doing what's right. You know, 1 Peter 4:16, it says, it's not a shame to suffer for being a Christian. Instead, thank God for the privilege of being called by his name. You know, the question is, can an insult kill you? No. You know, can a put down? No. You know, is somebody giving you a label or a name, can that hurt you? I mean, it can hurt your feelings. Can some troll on the internet trying to bait you into an argument, can that hurt you? No. You know, those things, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be surprised. Here's a little secret. If you get this, if you don't get anything else today, if you get this, this will change your life. And it's, I don't need other people's approval to be happy. I don't need other people's approval to be happy. You get that, and you apply that to your life, it'll change it. It really will. You know, you're as happy as you choose to be. And if you focus on God rather than people's approval, you're going to be a whole lot happier. If I spend my whole life worrying about what everybody thinks of me, you know, I would be in deep depression. I'd never get out of bed. And that's not what life's all about, focusing on what other people. You know, I was like that for years. I always thought, oh, people, and you worried about how you look and how you act and how you behave and, you know, all these things. I'm starting to lose my hair and, you know, you start worrying about people. What are they going to think when you go bald? And, you know, and then, you know, I realized God made some perfect heads and he just kind of clears them off so that they can show off, right? So that's where I'm headed. I must have a perfect head. But happiness is a choice. You know, it's you decide to be. You know, don't be ashamed of if you ever get a chance, go to Hebrews 11 and look at God's Hall of Fame. These are all the people that were the Hall of Fame. They were tortured. They were in prison. They were put down, you know, and they were laughed at. And let me say this to you. Don't ever let anybody laugh you out of following Jesus. You know, don't ever let anybody laugh you out of living for Christ. no matter what you do in life, somebody ain't going to like it if you're standing for the right thing. They're just not going to like it. You can't make everybody like you. And if you're going to suffer in life, it's better to suffer for doing the right thing than the wrong thing. It just makes logical sense, right? All right, number four, recognize the source of the opposition. People are not the source of the opposition. Satan is. It's not other people. It's not your coworkers. It's not the jerks at work. It's not the people in the political parties. It's not some other nation. It's not some other religion. It's not some competitor. It's not, you know, the real source of all the pressure to cave, to not have integrity, to not stand up, to sit quietly, the pressure is not coming from other people. The reality is it's coming from Satan. Scripture tells us that. In Revelation 12, Satan is called the accuser of Christians, the accuser of the brethren. And it's his job, his number one job, to put us down and drag us down. You know, people don't like to think there's a devil out there running around, but there really is. And we don't talk about it much in the church, but there really is. And Satan hates God. That's obvious. But he hates everything God created. He also hates God's children. You know, he doesn't just hate God, he hates God's children. You know, you've heard it said that God has loves you and has a good plan for your life. Well, Satan hates you and has a bad plan for your life. It's true. And there's this unseen battle that goes on around us all the time. Ephesians even tells us, you know, we're not fighting against human beings. That's why you can't win something at a ballot box. But we're fighting against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. It's going on around us all the time. We just don't acknowledge it most of the time. But Satan can't go after Jesus. He can't go after God. So what do you think he does? He goes after God's children. How do you get to a parent? Quickest way to get to a parent? Go after their kids. Go after that, and that's what happens. You know, we see the media attacking Christianity. We see music attacking it. Comedians all the time. You listen to comedians talk about Christianity? You know, all the time they're attacking. They're ridiculing. You know, you're out of date. You're on the wrong side of history. You don't know what you're talking about. You're fuddy-duddies. You're bigots. You know, you're hypocrites. We're hypocrites. The church is full of hypocrites. We're all hypocrites in some way or form. But we're forgiven. That's what makes us different. We're not perfect, but we're forgiven. And the Bible says what you should do. You should stay away from stupid, senseless arguments. Stay away from stupid, senseless arguments. That means everybody has to get off Facebook. What happens on Facebook? Stupid, senseless arguments. People bait us. We go for it. We fall for it. But what are we supposed to do instead? It says they only lead to trouble. God's servants should what? Must never. How can we even do that? How could you never quarrel? Is that even possible? Well, it is if you're filled with God's love. But he says, what should we do instead? Instead, we should be kind to everyone and be patient and humble. And when you correct people, you know, be humble when you correct people. Goes on to say, they've been trapped by the devil. They're just a pawn. They've been trapped. Most times people don't even know it. And you know, the enemy can come after us, but he can't control us because we have the Holy Spirit in our life. If you're not a believer and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't fight against it. You know? And it says that he makes them obey. But God may help them to escape. That's why you got to realize that they're not the enemy. They're just a tool. You know, recognize they're not the source of the opposition. It's the enemy. What did Jesus do when he was opposed? When he was hanging up on the cross, what did he do? He said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, when we can take that attitude, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. People don't know what they're doing when they're attacking. You know, they lied about Jesus constantly. But in 1 Peter 2, it says, you know, when they hurled the insults against him, it says Jesus didn't retaliate. They suffered and made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to God, who judges justly. And that leads us to the fifth one. Refuse to retaliate. Somebody cuts you down, don't jump into that. Refuse to retaliate. You know, we're most like Christ when we can get to that point in our mind where, Father, bless them. Bless those. It says, bless those who persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Bless them. He says you're going to be insulted. You know, it means that people are going to call believers' names. It means it's going to happen. You know, you're going to get labels. You're going to get insulted. You're going to get persecuted. You're going to get mistreated. You're going to get passed over. And, you know, all these things. And people will lie about you. You know, in my own life, there's enough to talk about me that you don't have to lie. But even if they couldn't find something bad, they'll make stuff up. They do it all the time. We see it all the time. They just make up things. But the Bible says, never pay back evil with more evil. And then here's a key right here. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let's face it, it's not going to be possible with everyone. Some people just, you're never going to live at peace with. They don't want to live at peace with you. But as far as it depends on you, you do your part. And then this next verse, it says, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. Let God do it. I said, you don't need everybody's approval to be happy. Let me give you a second truth that you really need to get in your life. And that is, any time you react, you know, or give up, you know, how many of you have ever said, you make me so mad? Anybody ever say that? You make me so mad? Do you realize when you do that, you're giving up control? You're saying that person is controlling your emotions. You make me so mad. You control. You decide when you get mad. You get to choose. And there are things you should choose to be upset about. I mean, there are some things that it's okay to get mad about. But an insult is not one of them. You know, you make me so mad. I'm allowing you to control my happiness when I say that. Think about that. You don't want to give up control of your life. You don't want to give up control of your emotions and your happiness. You know? Keep that one in mind. All right, sixth thing. We're going to wrap this up. Respond with a blessing. Here's the hard part. This is what makes believers different from any other group. You know, a lot of groups, a lot of people won't retaliate. But the Bible says you're going to have to take it one step further and do what Jesus actually did. Bless those who hurt you. Romans 12, 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. You don't make the world brighter by blowing out everybody else's candle. You don't overcome evil with more evil. You overcome evil with good. Now, Jesus gets real specific here in Luke 6. And this is just one of those that you read it and you go, wow, I wish I hadn't read that. But it says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Are you kidding me? And it goes on to say, bless those who curse you. And then what? Pray for those who hurt you. And if somebody slaps you on the cheek, what are you going to do? Turn the other cheek. Can anybody do that? Could anybody really do that? Somebody come up and slap you on the cheek and, oh, here, get the other one. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to overcome evil with good. Now, here's the amazing thing. If you start doing these six things in your life, God says, makes him happy, and you're going to get blessed. And what is really interesting, and I've seen this work, where people will not respond, and they'll continue to put blessing on people who are against them, and it actually causes the attackers to become private seekers because they can't believe it. And even scripturally, look at Paul. Paul was one of the biggest persecutors of the church, and he became the greatest apostle. Pretty cool. And Nicodemus, you know, he was a part of the Pharisees group that wanted to get Jesus on the cross, but one night he came to Jesus and said, hey, tell me about that born-again thing. He became a seeker. He became an actual partner, you know? Leave you with this parting thought. If Christianity became outlawed in America today, where they were going to throw you in prison for being a believer, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Could they convict you on it? You know, is there anything different in your life than what's in the life of anybody else in the world? Have you conformed? Or have you stood strong for what? There are some absolute yeses and nos in the Bible. There's some absolute truths. Some things are just absolutely true, period, whether we want them to be or not. And some things are just absolutely wrong, whether we want them to be or not. Is there any difference? You know, Jesus paid a price for us. And, you know, we can choose being popular, or you can choose standing for the truth. So, Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word. And, Lord, we do pray, or I pray for me personally. I can't pray for these. I pray that there would be enough evidence in my life to convict me if they outlawed Christianity. Help me to stand for truth. Help me to stand for what's right. Help me to not cave into pressure. But Lord, help me to see that those that are coming against the body are not the enemy. We know who the real enemy is, and we pray for exposure. And Father, we do pray your blessing, as hard as it is, on those who persecute us.